Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. When I was a boy in 1960, 72% of Americans were married. Today, it's 47%. That's a huge drop. How's your marriage doing? Are you married? If you're single like me, you still want to watch this show because the fact that so many people now have left marriage in America is having a devastating effect. So I want to bring in an expert on this. I want to introduce you to Tom Pritchard. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Tom has a ministry for married people, and we're going to talk all about marriage today, the state of marriage, your marriage, how you can get help if you need it, and just America in general. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now for all the people watching this show. Maybe they're single, divorced, widowed, married, whatever state they find themselves in, Lord, may they hear something from you that will help in this half hour. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Tom, before we get into marriage, I always like to ask our guest, how did you come to know Christ?
Well, I was raised in a church-going home. But it was when I was in junior high school that I really started kind of searching, asking the questions about the meaning and purpose of life, you know, my purpose. And so it was really when I was in junior high school, there was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes organization which came, had a conference, and that was probably my first point where I could see that having a relationship, it was a relationship. It wasn't just a head knowledge or going to church on Sunday, but it was really a personal relationship.
Okay.
And so that's when it took hold for me.
We love Fellowship of Christian Athletes. There you go. All right, Tom, let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about the facts and the figures. Can you share with us the state of a marriage in America today?
Well, you just cited some studies that of the adult population, 1960, it was about 72% of people were married. Now it's 47%, and that's record lows. So this is a precipitous drop. At the same time, you have increasing people cohabiting, living together. Divorce is probably over 40%. I say that the institution of marriage is in good shape. It's God's institution. The question is whether we will honor it and live by it.
Right.
And so we're having some problems in America.
Well, and if I can butt in as a pastor, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says fornicators, that's people having sex outside of marriage, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if anybody's watching this and you're living with your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you're not married, read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Your soul's in danger. So back to you, Tom. Why are less people getting married?
Well, you know, I think there's a number of reasons. I think the culture is more hostile, indifferent, or at best in hostile, at worst, towards the institution of marriage. Our media, our education, our entertainment industry, education, all those institutions, the elites are kind of hostile to the notion that marriage is, between a man and a woman, is something God's ordained. And I think another reason is the breakup of the family is causing people to be more hesitant about getting, if their parents have divorced, they saw all the problems, they say, I don't want to go through that. And so there's a fear, there's a lack of trust. Can I really trust somebody?
Yeah.
So I think there are quite a few factors.
Well, have you ever heard this? In the 1950s, there was a TV show called Father Knows Best. By the 1970s, it's Father Knows Nothing. And today, who needs a father?
Yeah.
Let's just have artificial insemination or let's just have sex but not have a father in the home. And isn't there a study that if there's not a father in the home, the children are much more open to poverty?
Yeah, no, I just saw a study where, you know, if somebody gets married, let's say they get a high school degree, they get a job, they get married, and then they have children. working class folks, you know, maybe like 3%. Whereas, you know, if you just go out and start having kids, the poverty rate's very high.
So if you have kids without marriage, you're going to be in a more likely a poverty home, and your kids will too.
Yeah, and you think about it, you know, when you've got a married home, you've got two individuals. And to be a single parent raising kids on your own,
difficult.
I mean, you're working, but then you've got, yeah. Can you care for your kids?
Yeah.
Give them the attention. It's just we're asking too much of single parents.
It was the 1960s under LBJ, I think, that we had the welfare state start. Can you tell us, what has that done to America?
Well, I think what it's done is it's, you know, for a while, welfare policies were such that you were eligible for welfare if you were single, not living at home, didn't have a job, and you were pregnant. So, okay, we'll give you support and finances. And I think what that's done, it created an incentive. Now, we've altered our welfare policy to some degree, but mm-hmm. still, I think it's made fathers and yeah. husbands superfluous.
And
they're
not
necessary.
I saw a black speaker say that the welfare state rewards people for having children out of wedlock. And this is a black speaker who thinks that needs to be changed.
Yeah, so government, I mean, that's one of the factors which I think has really, really harmed marriage and family is the financial incentives, which not only that, but there's marriage penalties. You know, there's incentive not to get married because you're going to pay more taxes if you do get married.
Is that true in every state?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot of
federal thing?
Yeah, federal welfare policies.
Wow.
So, you know, we're giving people the wrong incentives economically or financially.
And, you know, when you don't go God's route, you pay for it.
Yeah.
Because God knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
Is there any good news out there about marriage?
I think there is. I think there are pockets where marriage is doing better. There's a great book, it's called Get Married by Brad Wilcox, a professor at the University of Virginia, and he says that religious people with strong religious faith, more conservative people, what he calls strivers who have high education, and also Asians tend to have more intact marriages and families. So there are pockets, and they say the divorce rate is coming down. I think that's partly because people who do get married are more serious about it, so they're less willing. But, you know, I think, in my view, personally, I think faith is really important, having a strong community which affirms and values marriage, because I think one thing is you can't do marriage alone. The currents and the culture are so putting pressure on you, the messages
you
about...
You need a good church.
Yeah, yeah, you need a community of people who are going to support you, you and your marriage and your children.
Why would Asians have stronger marriage?
I think it's probably cultural. You know,
if
they're especially first or second generation, family is more, it's more traditional society.
Okay.
But I think even in those cultures, you know, when they've been here a few generations, they start to embrace...
Pick up our non-values.
Yeah, yeah, the Western values.
Well,
Western values.
Tom, you have said, and we're going to look at now, four myths about marriage. Flying Solo, Family Diversity, Soulmate Myth, and Parent Trap. One of my favorite movies, Tom. Haley Mills. Okay, so the first one is Flying Solo. What is that myth?
Well, there's kind of a message out in the culture that, you know, if you want to be happy and free and enjoy life, just do it alone. You don't need to get married. In fact,
you can just watch pornography.
Well,
that's what they're doing.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like marriage is a ball and chain. You know, you're not going to be happy if you get married. Whereas, in fact, the exact opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
The research just verifies and verifies again and again the truths of Scripture about marriage is a lifelong commitment. We need relationship. You know, loneliness is at epidemic levels. And it's because people don't have relationship. And, of course, so marriage is the fundamental relationship.
So you shouldn't call your spouse the old ball and chain.
No, that would not be a good idea, Tom.
Because the opposite is true. Married people, in studies, they're happier.
Yeah. Now, you know, you have to work at marriage. And I think some people don't realize that. And no marriage is perfect. Every marriage has struggles and conflicts, but overall, when you average it all out, people do better in marriage. But, you know, if you have to work at it, though, it's not just a given that you're going to have a great marriage.
So it is a myth that single people are happier.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to myth number two. Family diversity, what does that mean?
Well, that's the notion that it for individuals and children, it really doesn't matter what sort of arrangement they live in, whether it's a cohabiting relationship or whatever. You don't really need to be married. And that's just not true. The fact is, for children, you know, they need a mom and a dad in a home, ideally. Obviously, that's not always happening. But if that's the norm we want to shoot for as a society, we want to encourage it. We want to support people who are single or widowed or whatever, but we want to be encouraging people to enter into mm-hmm. marriage and to realize that that is the healthiest arrangement for
men. Yeah. So do we know yet? We have gay marriage now in Minnesota and in the country since, what was it, about 7 years ago? What is it doing to kids to have two male fathers and no mom in the house?
I think in that situation, invariably, I say who's dispensable, the mother or the father, because you're lacking one or the other.
Yeah.
So I just think God's design of a mom and a dad is really what's worked through generations, millennial. So,
right,
that's a recent invention.
It is a recent invention and a sad one, as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's go to the next myth, soulmates myth. What does that mean?
Well, that's the idea that there's one person out there that I can connect with emotionally and be happy and just be in love. And if that love or that feeling, emotion leaves, then that's the end of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of tied around the idea of having an emotional bond. Now, I think emotions are important, and I think they're kind of a red flag. If things aren't going well, your emotions kind of, okay, why am I feeling this way? So I think emotions are not to be ignored, but some people, if I don't have that feeling, that euphoric feeling, like when you're dating and you've fallen in love and you get in married, things start, pressures come, reality starts sitting in, and people say, well, I no longer have that feeling, therefore, this isn't my soulmate anymore.
Right.
And, there's a book about a woman, she traveled the world, and she had three or four soulmates. She just went from relationship to relationship. So if you're relying on the presence of an emotion as the basis for continuing in that relationship, then you're probably going to be in trouble.
We had an old sociology teacher in my high school, and she said something that I'm not sure I agreed with then, but I maybe do now, and tell me what you think. She said, it's not so much who you marry, it's your attitude toward marriage.
There's a lot of truth to that. I know you look at cultures like in India and other places where they have arranged marriages, where maybe the family, the parents,
and they last.
Yeah. So I think the key thing is obviously working at it, and there's certain things we can get into that really will, help, relationships survive and flourish.
Yeah.
Regardless.
We're going to get in after what we do this last myth. Let's ask the question: if my marriage is about over with, what is your advice? But last myth is the parent trap with Haley Mills.
Well, I think that's the notion that kids are not a blessing. They're a headache, and you're better off not to have kids because they're going to infringe on your freedom and your joy and your ability to fully express yourself. But in fact, I think children, they're a challenge. We raise four children. But they're a huge blessing.
Well, they are.
They really are, and it's
Can you think of the Bible verse that teaches us that?
Children are a blessing.
Children are a heritage from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them.
Yeah.
And if I could, I'm single, but I'll just say this. My married friends who are now my age and just loving their grandchildren, they have a full life, that way.
Well, I think the challenge is if you don't know how to parent, that can be a royal headache, because if you don't know how to lovingly discipline and give direction to your children, they can just run you ragged.
All right.
But they are a blessing, and I think God uses marriage and our children to shape and form us. Mm-hmm. And there's weaknesses in my character that God's trying to work on as well.
Yeah.
And so going the easy route isn't always the best route.
All right, then let's ask the next question. You and your wife have a wonderful family, four great kids that all are walking with the Lord. So if somebody is, what is your advice? Because I look at your family, I think that's about as good as it gets. I know you got problems, but who doesn't? What is your advice on how to raise children?
Well, I think it starts with your marriage. You've got to have a good marriage. I think they say in some respects one of the most important things for children to see is how their parents interact and love and care for each other. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the starting.
The best thing a father can do for his children is love their mother.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So that starts out. And I think, love your kids. Give them time, the time they need.
And you used to take them out on little dates, one-on-one, I remember.
Yeah. So you make them a priority, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't want your children to be the center of everything and everything evolves around them, but they're a part of your family and they're valued mm-hmm. for who they are, and you communicate that to them. I think.
And you also used to read a Bible story before you'd have your meal. I remember you doing that with your kids.
Yeah, I mean, and we home educated our kids. That's not everybody's way to go, but I think there were some benefits to that.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, I was raised in a public school setting, and I think there are a lot more pressures nowadays, peer pressure and other things, which can, if you've got kids in the public school, you have to work additionally hard because the pressures, the pull of the culture is going to undermine a lot of the things you want to do at home.
Especially when the Minneapolis Public School puts on a drag queen story time for your children, which they did, or the state of Minnesota now mandates tampons in grade schools for fourth graders and up. I mean, it's gone nuts. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have your kids in public schools, but what you just said is absolutely true. You got to be so careful and so involved.
Yeah. So I think some of those things were really important, and they had a network of friends and family. And
a good church.
Yeah, a good church.
You went to my church.
Yeah. I think that, and I think exposing them to faith, that Christianity is a relationship with God.
And pray with them.
Yeah, pray with them and give them opportunities to really experience God in a powerful way. So I think all those things. And you just pray. You just, it's kind of funny. You're only parents once. And then by the time you're done, you say, maybe I've got this figured out. But you're already through it.
Yeah.
So, but I think getting wisdom from other people, and you work at it.
And when I was a kid, I loved comic books. You can go to the Christian bookstore and buy a whole Bible. It's the comic book Bible.
Yeah.
And just hand that to your kids, or read it through to them at night.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, what today, let's say somebody's watching this program and their marriage is in big trouble. You got any advice?
Well, I think, first of all, you recognize it and get help. As I said, I think we all struggle in different areas of our marriage. We're human, we're fallen, and we have our weaknesses, and so we all have to work. However long you've been married, you never put it on cruise control. So
how do you get help? Where do you go?
I think first I would go to your pastor and ask them where you can get help. Now, if they don't know, I think I'd look at some of the larger mega churches, because they oftentimes will have marriage staff people. And they will have programs. There's something called Enrich mm-hmm. here in the Twin Cities around the country. It's mm-hmm. a 14-week course, small group for couples enrichment. There's a program called Marriage Encounter, Retrovar, for people who maybe have some significant issues. That's been shown to be very effective in helping mm-hmm. People may have some addictions or other things. So that's another thing. I think get counseling. Now, I think you have to be very careful when you go to find a marriage counselor. Somebody, I'm a counselor, but do they have experienced marriage? Are they marriage affirming? Oftentimes, if you've been trained in modern counseling techniques, it's kind of, what do you want to do?
But
you want to have a counselor who's had experience, has training, and is pro-marriage.
Yes.
They want to help. They want to champion your marriage.
Right.
Now,
instead of, maybe it's best if you divorce.
Yeah, No, I mean, there are obviously situations where that might be the option, but it's not because, well, I just don't feel like it and I'm attracted somewhere else.
I knew a pastor who sent a couple to a counselor, I think it was a secular counselor, who told them, well, maybe having an affair would spice up your marriage.
Oh, yeah. Well, even those who identify as Christian counselors, you've got to be very discerning.
Yeah.
I think to be a consumer, you interview them and find out, okay, what's your approach? What's your experience? Have you counseled many couples?
Yep.
Maybe get the referral of the, and are there a couple people that you counseled that we could talk to?
There you go.
It's being a consumer mm-hmm. in counseling, but I think to get help and, you know, don't wait. I think what happens is a tendency, and this isn't true for everybody, but, you know, the wife gets frustrated with the husband, and he's just oblivious. And so finally...
That's kind of normal.
Yeah. Yeah, but finally she just gives up.
Yeah.
And then he realizes, I've got a problem on my hands. And sometimes it can be too late because... Yeah. But I think you just have to... Marriage is a priority for both of you.
Yep.
And you just keep... I heard this one phrase, you have to fight for your marriage sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the enemy will want to destroy your marriage and the pressures of the culture want to destroy your marriage. So you need to fight for it at times.
And, you know, if I could just jump in again as a pastor, everybody needs to read Matthew chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians 7. It says, Jesus says, the Apostle Paul says, don't get divorced. But if you do, Paul says, either stay single or you get remarried to your spouse, you don't go and find somebody new. Because Jesus said if you get divorced and marry somebody new, Jesus said you're committing adultery. So if you're watching this and you're divorced, you can have a wonderful life serving the Lord as a single person. If your spouse dies, I think you're free to remarry. But again, read Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Speaking of Scripture, and this is maybe controversial, but it shouldn't be, how do you understand the different roles, biblically, of husband and wife in marriage?
Well, the way I look at it, and I think certain terms are loaded, like submission. That has certain connotations, which
But it's in the Bible, Tom.
No, but the word submission, what does it mean? Is
okay.
It kowtowing? Is it being...
A slave.
A slave, uh-huh. Yeah. I think that's what it comes across to people. But I think fundamentally, God's given men, the man, the responsibility for the well-being of the marriage, that he has overall responsibility. And that doesn't mean he just does what he says. You know, he's to lay his life down, which is far more than just kind of, hey, I do what I want, and you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
So I think men have a responsibility. I think they have to take the initiative. You know, I think wives, and so they kind of have that provider protector. But I think wives, to support their husbands in that, to be encouragers, to be strong in that marriage. And you know, if a guy doesn't seek wisdom and the advice and work things out, I mean. And, you know, I look at Christ, he's kind of the model. Just think about how he dealt with his disciples. You know, he didn't lower the boom and say, I mean, he kind of stated it, and, you know, you have a choice of whether you want to follow me or not. But I think he's probably the model, the role for mm-hmm. men. And I think women to be supportive. I think they want, you know, it's interesting, there's that book, Get Married. It says, you know, women, even... maybe more liberal, progressive women, they want a lot of those traditional male mm-hmm. qualities mm-hmm. of strong, successful, mm-hmm. Take charge guys, not that they're domineering. But I think there's another factor, is a big problem, is lack of emotional or personal connection between the husband and the wife. And so I think that's something, there needs to be kind of a... engagement, mm-hmm. and that comes from spending time together.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians and Colossians says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husband, love your wives and give yourselves up for them as Christ did for the church. Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks, well, the wife has got the heart, she's got to submit to this guy. The husband has to sacrifice his life for his wife. So both of them have a hard task.
Well, and I think the challenge is today, men... what's it mean to be a man? Our society doesn't give people direction.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of guys aren't stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
They're not. And so you're in a, it's kind of this relationship where they're not.
They're withdrawn.
Yeah, they're withdrawn. They're not fulfilling their responsibilities.
Yeah.
So then, you know, that puts the wife in a difficult position. So I think a man who is loving and considerate and caring and, you know, looking out for the best interests mm-hmm. of his wife and his children and their family, mm-hmm. you know, I think people are going to love that and
yeah.
gravitate towards that.
But it's the way we were made.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, we just have a couple minutes left, but you have a marriage ministry now. And if people want more information about, you know, where to get help or what you do, et cetera, we're going to put on the screen right here, TwinCitiesMarriageInitiative.com. What is your ministry? What do you do?
Well, there's two. There's one is something called Forever Adventure. That's kind of the parent organization. And you can go to that at foreveradventure.com, but it has resources. There's something called Right Now Media, mm-hmm. which is a Christian resource for courses that are free. You can go in and access all sorts of materials on that website. But Twin Cities Marriage Initiative is focused specifically on the Twin Cities here in Minnesota. So we're working to seek to encourage churches to create and establish marriage ministries, to connect couples and churches with resources. There's tons of marriage resources
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
But so we want to connect those two. And so that's what Twin Cities Marriage Initiative is all about. Now, if some of your listeners or viewers are from other states,
yes.
there are what they call, you could go to Community Marriage Initiative, and there are groups like ours in different cities around the Twin City or around the country.
Yeah.
But I think also just if you need help, go to a church. Your church, and if your church doesn't have resources, you know, that's part of the problem is less than a quarter of churches have active marriage mm-hmm. ministries. So
okay.
most churches don't. So
yeah.
you can still go to your church, but
go to a mega church that has a marriage ministry.
Yeah, if they've got a course,
right.
participate in that, and then maybe bring it back to your church.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So everybody, you can contact Tom or at that website if you like. And just my hope is if you've got a rough marriage, pray about it. Get into a good church. Get some good counseling. If you're single, 1 Corinthians 7 says God has a great life for you as a single person. You don't have to get married. If you're divorced, again, God has a great life for single people as well. And just there you go. Thanks, Tom, so much for being on board.
Thank you.
Everybody, we're kind of sinking a little bit with our money. So if God nudges you to support us, say a prayer, and you can support us at the address we're about to show. But God bless you. See you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.